About sowing in peace. The title of today's message is Sowing in Peace. It's talking about planting and giving, and it's talking about doing it from the place of peace. We learned about sowing in faith, and we learned a lot about that, but the Lord has been really impressed on me. Elder Allison had mentioned something that was really powerful to me, and it was dealing with being the smith that blows the coals. And then it dealt with the fact that if you're in this process to where the Lord is causing your coals to be blown on, and he's revealing, like Cap was saying in the prayer, revealing the areas of sin. And as that's taking place, the coals are being blown on, and we'll talk about it more in the message, but it really set something off of me. She said, God is allowing your coals to be blown on. She prophesied to me and said, God is allowing your coals to be blown on. And you have to remember that when the coals are blown on, she said it reminded her of the refiner's fire and that he would prepare. And we've taught it from this angle many times, that he would prepare a people to be able to sow in righteousness, that he would send us unto the refiner. So we're going to frame a lot of that out today and find out that while his path is being made straight, you're in the perfect position for sowing seed. But today, not only we're going to talk about that, we're going to learn how to sow from and what would cause us to sow. So he's going to straighten some things out for us, because God is really, really putting things together so we can walk in wealth. He really is. In spite of what the devil might be saying, in spite of what the circumstance may even look like, God is still positioning us to really walk in the wealth of the kingdom. If you can hear me, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we open up here in our home scripture, which has been our home scripture for the last few messages. And this is talking about making his path straight. It says in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. I love it. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. That's talking about paths, straight paths. Every situation that would keep Christ from being able to reach you in an instantaneous moment at once, as he straightens it out and as you come into agreement with what he's doing. And that's what Cap was also saying about the post experiences. The post experiences cause for the straight path. It causes, as he reveals areas that are deficits and that we're not strong in, that we might be failing in, and we align ourselves to this, it's straightening his path. It's making it easy for him to come. And verse 6 says, in all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We learned that on Thursday, that the flesh he's speaking about is not talking about all mankind. It's talking about every fleshly area and carnal area of your life will see the salvation of God. Every area, your finances, your health, your peace, your joy, everything is going to see his salvation as the paths are being made straight. The word path is not singular, but it's plural. That the paths, the issues, the Bible says, guarding our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, or the boundaries, the pathways of life are guarded because we keep our heart with all diligence. That's kind of a playoff of what we just learned here. And the word path, the word straight means at once, giving Jesus immediate access, giving the Father immediate access to you, to where now he doesn't have to reveal or do this or that. He doesn't have to say, okay, we got to get through this so I can get you to that. No. We're going to make it real simple for him by just submitting to his word, submitting to what he's revealing about us in our lives, just submitting. And the moment you submit, you've just made a pathway real straight for him to come in.
Hallelujah. All right.
Now, it gives him a direct course. The word straight also means straight way. It gives him a direct course. So we've been learning about this, and now the Lord's revealed And it's revealing, he's like, my goodness, you guys don't understand the blessing that you're under. That while you're coming into the straight path or coming into the covenant of peace, because that's exactly what peace is doing. It's making his path straight. You're at peace with God because you're not contending with him in the flesh. You're not contending it with him in your own self-effort and you trying to do things. You're at peace with God. Those are straight paths. So peace is really the mark of really having a straight path. That if I don't have peace with God, if I'm not in a place where I'm at the ease or in propitiation and I'm not moving in temperament, then obviously there's something wrong there. The path isn't straight. But if temperament, his temperament is on me and my mind is completely, I use the word completely, propitiated, that means the pathway for him to reach out, touch me, heal me, and even work through me is clear. There's no obstacles here. And so now this is also the major place where God would want us to begin to sow from. And to recognize another dimension. First, we learned about sowing in the position of authentic faith. But now we're going to add even more strength to that by understanding not only am I in authentic faith, but now I'm in the place of absolute peace. The covenant of peace has been activated. And this is the place where God would want us to sow from.
Amen.
Straight
Amen.
Paths. First of all, I want to show you that straight paths are forged with fire. And we pick up over back in Isaiah 54, which we've been hanging out there for a while too. Isaiah 54, but we'll read verses 14 through 16. I love what 14 says. Immediately it jumps off. It says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. That already speaks of a straight path. Thou shalt be far from oppression. That speaks of another straight path. For thou shalt not fear. Another straight path there. You won't. He doesn't have to go through the obstacle of you being oppressed. He doesn't have to go through the obstacle of you being in fear. And then from terror, there's another straight path. For it shall not come near thee. So that's all speaking of straightening things out. Getting rid of your oppression. Getting rid of your fears, your terrors. None of this stuff is going to be an obstacle. He'll be able to reach out and touch you straightway with just the anointing. The anointing to bless you, the anointing to heal you. Praise God, for it shall not come near thee, talking about terror. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Verse 16, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. And that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. So I started looking into this. I really went in a little bit deeper than I have in the past. I really needed to know, first of all, what the smith was, because that's what's blowing on the coals. And I found out something here. I think of a tool that you blow with at your fireplace, that thing you extract and push and extract and push. And it brings forth wind. But the smith that the Bible is talking about is a little bit different here. It's not talking about the tool. It is a tool, don't get me wrong. Satan is definitely a tool. But that's exactly what it's pointing at. The word smith means a carpenter. It means a craftsman. It means a skillful to destroy.
Oh.
So I'm sitting there saying, my goodness, he's paralleled with you again here, Jesus. You're calling him a carpenter. A carpenter. You're calling him a craftsman. And he's skillful enough to destroy. So this weapon is serious. But it's still, at verse 17, which we don't have on here, it still says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. As skillful as he is to destroy, as much as a craftsman he might be, he's still not going to be able to destroy. It's not going to be able to prosper. In fact, what it's going to do, it's going to create. And it did create in the very beginning. It created us in a different, very different way. But it also, it created us that we might come into the knowledge of Christ. Everything that Satan did, and as he was molding you and molding me, I find it amazing that the devil would be considered a carpenter and a craftsman like our Lord. The Lord created him, watch this, to create us in a sense. He molded us into who we were before. We were instruments. The Bible says that it would bring forth instruments for his work. We all at one time were instruments even for his work. So he created all of this in us, guys, as we were growing without Christ. He placed so much in us, and all the things that he placed in us became obstacles on our paths. They became obstacles. We became the instruments for his work. We glorified him at one time as we led lives of sin and as we walked in the way that we wanted to walk and as we did whatever it is we wanted to do. He did create an instrument for his work. I saw this scripture differently. I used to only equate this to Satan, but I see here that Satan, being the carpenter and craftsman, he's the one that forged instruments for his work. And he said, and the Lord said, and I have created the waster to destroy. But the instruments that were forged here, it was us. And we were given so many things in life. I pray this message reaches down to you today and grabs you. So many obstacles, man, were placed in our lives. So many things that were there, and some of them still linger today. But God is saying, I want peace with you. I want peace. I want to make your path straight. I want to do it over again. We were forged in the fire from the beginning when we were sinners. And I want to tell you something that's still true. We're being forged now, but yet in another fire.
Yes, thank
you. And this fire is causing the paths to be made straight, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now we were forged into instruments for his work. Mm-hmm. Now, by the rhema word, all of that work is being destroyed and brought down. I want you to have the picture of that. All of what he placed in you, all of your fears, your doubts, your bad habits, your bad decisions, which we talked about, all of the things in which we were created, born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that type of stuff, all of that is being redone, and the Lord is causing his fire to clear the path.
Bless you.
He's purging us, praise God, to make his path straight. Why? Because Jesus wants to reach out through the hands of the Father. The Father wants to reach out, I'm telling you, through the hands of Jesus, and he wants to touch and finish the things that are not finished in your life that are still detrimental to you and to me. He wants to make the path straight so that when you plant a seed, it will bring forth a harvest instantly. As we recognize this covenant of peace, and what he's doing here, as we recognize this covenant of peace, we also need to know that we are in another fire now. We are in the refiner's fire, and this fire is getting rid of the old obstructed paths of the devil. It truly is. I'm in a season right now that I'm going through and growing through that is truly amazing to me. Every time I think, man, and I'm just going to stop, I'm going to give up on thinking that I've arrived in some way or other. Every time I think that he can't do more, there's so much more that he pulls out. And it makes me feel like, geez, what in the world? It feels like almost nothing was done. Because this refiner's fire goes deep into your soul. It goes deep into the place of the origin places that Satan created obstructed paths to begin with. It goes all the way in so it can bring you all the way out.
Amen,
in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says this: Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. There it is, right there. There it is. We just learned about that. That he would prepare the way before him. He's talking in essence about John in the letter of this word. But the rhema of this word really points to the messenger to us as becoming the Christ, the rhema word unto us. And he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they, this is the reason, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Can't tell you how many times we've read this scripture, but my God, is he putting it all together. He sits as a refiner. So in this scripture, it's talking about the coming of John the Baptist. It's talking about the coming of John the Baptist that would come with a message and get folks ready. He would send him before he comes. But in this scripture, it's also prophesying into our lives. Obviously, we're not under the ministry of John, but we're under the ministry that John, the anointing that John had by way of the Rhema word, because it has the same effect. It's called repentance. It's called the changing of our minds. So now this word now is sitting as the messenger. In fact, the word messenger simply means this, teacher. It means teacher. That the word has come, Christ the Lord of the Rhema has come as our teacher, and he's refining us. He's refining us. And the word refine there, or refiner, means goldsmith. I like the second definition. It means to fuse metal. This puts me in remembrance of the cherubims on the ark, the Father and the church being at peace. He's fusing us. Ooh, glory be to God. We're being fused unto the Father, and we're coming into this place of this agreement in peace due to the power of his blood. He's refining us. It also means to purge away. And then also the last definition, but don't leave it because you're going to need it later on. It means to test. So now we're being treated here. He's refining us. This new fire that we're under, I was once forged under the old fires of the devil. I was once forged under those things. And God himself allowed that to be so. He allowed it to be so. Because there would come a greater fire that would not just burn away the dross, but it would also reveal Christ unto us. It would reveal Christ. We too, like Adam and Eve, would know the difference between good and evil. But this time it's happening in reverse. First we learned evil, but now we're learning how to walk in the goodness of the Lord. We're now learning how to walk in righteousness. Ours is reversed from their process. And now this fire is taking over. And it's burning away. It's purging. It's straightening the paths. He sits also as a purifier. And I thought this was amazing. Purifier of silver. It means to purge, to purify, clean morally. Or it also means to clear. Just like we're learning about how he's clearing the paths. He's clearing. He's leveling the roads. If you're still with me, just say amen.
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 He's clearing the roads. This is what happens in purification. He's taking away the things. I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, it's the truth. We've had stumbling blocks, rocks of offense. We've had so many things going on in our minds, in our lives, in our actions. But he says, now I'm clearing it. You've entered into the dimension of authentic faith, and faith is now revealing my peace. And peace says, I'm clearing everything out the way so I can bring you into the fullness of restitution.
Hallelujah.
The fullness of restoration. That I can be the Christ that you read about. That when I say something, it takes place. That when I speak it comes to pass. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. No more delays in the anointing. He's clearing our lands. He's purifying. He's doing everything he said he would do. So the Rhema word is his messenger, his teacher. He is the refiner in which is fusing us unto the Father. He's the purifier in which is cleansing us morally and clearing the paths for the Lord so that we might offer an offering in righteousness. This is the place in which we sow from. This is the place in which we will see kingdom wealth on our lives. This is that place. This is that place. If you know that your coals are getting hot, if you know that he's bringing things before you, If you can see where he's checking and balancing you, my goodness, you're in the right place at the right time. It means you're in peace with God. It means he can reveal unto you and you're not going to refute what he's saying. You're not going to deny it. You're going to accept. You're going to accept his word. And you're going to let it change you. You're in the right place. You're in the right fire. You're in the right fire. You're being made over, praise God. And this is the place where he wants us to have an insight to releasing seed. He said that he would purify the sons of Levi. And it tells you, it says he would purify them so that they might offer unto the Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, unto the Father, an offering in righteousness. We're now offering, our offerings are reaching the hands of the Father. And the Father's the one that causes and he endorses the works. The Father's the one that endorses all manifestation. The Father is the one. And so now we're coming into this place where Christ, the anointing, can become instantaneous. The seeds that you've sown, the seeds that you will sow, they'll start to multiply because he's purified. He's cleared your land. All right. Let's go to John chapter 6, verses 5 through 12. And let's see the refiner at work. Let's see this. And then we see the results of instantaneous manifestation. In John chapter 6, verses 5 through 12, everybody knows the story. Jesus feeds the multitudes. But let's look at the refiner at work here. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove. Now the word prove means to test. Remember, that's a part of being the refiner. He tests. It's testing. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So it looks like Philip is failing the test. One of his disciples, watch this, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. We see Philip here, he has no vision whatsoever. Philip has no vision, he can't see. But then Andrew kind of saves it in the sense where he said, hey, there's a lad here with 2 fish and 5 loaves. There's someone here, there is provisions here. So now Philip, how does Philip pass the test? In fact, we can add Andrew to it too, because he asked the question, what's that so against so many? But we see where they pass the test. And this is where we often fail. That we see where their path was made straight so that this miracle could take place. When Jesus said, make the men to sit down, they didn't refute, neither go back and forth with him. They didn't start saying, but it don't make sense. Why are we doing this? We don't have but 2 fish. They didn't do that. They stayed in the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord was make the men to sit down. In fact, another translation coming out of, I believe Luke says, make them sit down in companies of 150.
Amen.
And they did that. They didn't just sit them all down, but there's more. They got a little bit more descriptive with it. They put them in groups of 100 or groups of 50. So they stayed in the word of the Lord. The path for the miracle was made straight. See, oftentimes we come out of the word of the Lord. We leave the word of the Lord. So the path of the miracle is more distant. If they sat there and argued with Jesus and refuted or denied what he was saying, then the miracle would have, he would have had to straighten them out. The pathway wouldn't have been straight. But because they stayed and did what he said.
That's so good.
Stayed in the rhema. And all of a sudden, the miracle could come to pass. The Bible declares this. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. The Bible says that in another version, I believe also there in the book of Luke there, I believe we're reading out of John and Luke, it talks about he blessed the offering. He blessed what was given. That word blessed means to invoke a blessing. And what he does there, when the path is made straight, the offering reaches his hand, he invokes a blessing for immediate harvest. But if the path wasn't straight, it's not easy. It's not hard. Don't get me wrong. But he has to deal with other things prior to invoking the blessing on the seed. If you understand that, just say amen.
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 If he has to deal with other issues in our lives, that's why it does say, and I say again, guard your heart, your mind with all diligence, for out of it will flow the boundaries of life. How far is the boundary between you and your breakthrough, between you and your miracle, because you're not allowing the path to become straight? How far is the boundary? The boundaries are set by how we guard this word and how we stay in this word. The more we allow our path to be straight, the shorter the boundaries, if you will. It's not a long distance between you and your miracle, your breakthrough. So Philip was tested and refined basically at the same time. Philip got refined because Andrew spoke up and did say, there is a lad here. And they both, by the fact that Andrew would even mention that, stayed in the course of being in the rhema, and when Jesus would say, make the men to sit down. There was no argument. The path was straight. It was straight. And oftentimes the path gets straightened out as you're moving in the word of the Lord. And that's what took place. Their paths were being straightened out. Because then you see Jesus breaking bread and breaking fish, handing it to the disciples. And they now are handing it to the multitude. They are in the midst of the miracle of the straight path, and we will tangibly touch the miracles that belong in and on our lives when we allow him to make our path straight.
Hallelujah.
There won't be delays. There won't be denials. There won't be the frustration that comes and goes. You guys know we go up and down like yo-yos at times when God hasn't moved for us. You know how we get, everybody on this line. I know every one of us goes in and out at times. In and out. Mary did, and she gave birth to the Son of God. She was in and out, so she was straightened out by the rhema word. That's why we stay with it. That's why we try to maintain 3 times a day so we can see the instantaneous power of the Christ. Yeah. But Philip was straightened. Andrew, in a sense, was straightened, and the miracle came to pass. Jesus was testing to see if Philip would go rogue on his plan to feed the people. Philip stayed the course, though, when he said, make the men sit down. That was the test. Christ showed up and invoked a blessing from the Father, which brought immediate results. So now, as I'm being purified and as you're being purified, as the path is being made straight, you can see how it becomes a blessing to get a seed into his hand. You can see what kind of blessing it becomes. Man, when the crooked areas are being made straight in you, my God, that's the time, my goodness, as you recognize the purging power of Christ and how he's revealing to you and how you're in agreement with what he's revealing, that post-experience causing this covenant of peace. It's the time of sowing. It's time to release.
Praise God.
It's time to give. It's time to give. But let's learn how to give. Let's learn on how to give here. We understand the timing of it, but let's learn how to really intricately give and release what should cause us to sow. There's only one thing that should cause us to sow. And when you're in this covenant, you're in position to do it right. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, I'm almost done already. 2 Corinthians, this is mic dropping confirmation. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth, listen to this, bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Daryl, I thought about you when I read this. This is going to bless you. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. This is key. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. All right? Now, the word bountifully means this. And this is where I thought about you. Evangelist Darrow.
Amen.
It means utterance. It means polished language. Here's where it really kicks in. Uttered by a living voice. An invocation of blessing. Jesus invoked a blessing because they followed the instruction of the living voice. When they followed the instruction of the living voice, Jesus invoked a blessing and caused the fish and loaves to multiply. He talked to the Father and invoked the blessing through his conversation with the Father. And what happened is fish and loaves began to multiply. What am I saying? We don't sow outside of the utterance of the living voice. What should spawn us to sow is the fact that we're in such a place with God that he can ask for a seed. And because of the fact that he's asking, my God, you're going to get it. Because of the fact that you're hearing the living voice, that's what quickens you to sow, not Amen. Your need. And you're never giving. If you're giving from a grudging place with regret because you got bills due, man, you're never going to see a harvest. You're Amen. Not giving out of peace. But when the living voice speaks, because you're connected, because you've been fused to him. When he speaks, it gives you joy. It fills you to release the seed into his hands. That's what you call sowing from the covenant of his
presence. Hallelujah, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's that same voice that has caused you to rise up, or oh God, that caused you to rise up with joy, caused you to move in haste, to go ahead and sow, that is going to now turn and invoke a blessing.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Here's another drop for you. The word cheerful means propitious. It means one whose sins are expiated. That tells you that you're in peace. Your sin has been expiated. You're sowing as a cheerful, not cheerful, ha, ha, ha. No. One that is in total propitiation because sins have been expiated. That takes the front of any need you might be facing. Your seed is coming out of the fact that you've been expiated of sin.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
That you are at peace with God. And therefore, because you're at peace with God, everything else around you is going to be at peace with you. So the seed is released without fear. The seed is released without the fact of necessity. The seed gets released because you heard the living voice.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's where the seed gets released. That's where the blessing is. That's where the Christ can come in and touch your seed immediately. And just because you might not see money coming in all around you immediately, he's already touched your situation. He's already fixed it, my God. Yeah.
Jesus, I thank you.
And manifestation, yes, manifestation has already taken place. But we give. He loves bountiful givers. Givers that give by the living voice. Givers that hear the polished language of Rhema. They hear it. That's where he invokes. There's an invocation of blessing. There's an invocation. In fact, I'll tell you one better. There's an invocation and there's a benediction. Because when Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus blessed the two fish in Luke, it says he blessed it. That word blessed means to invoke a benediction, which means a prophetic word or prophetic happening. That's what Jesus does when you're a bountiful giver. And the only way you enter into becoming a bountiful giver is by being in the covenant of God's peace.
Hallelujah.
It's by being propitious. The joy of expiated, your sins being expiated. The feeling of peace because your sins are expiated. They're all, it's all over you. And it causes you to release seed. The word giver simply means to give to one asking. To give to one that's asking. For God so loveth a cheerful giver. Giving from a propitious place to the one that is asking. Who's asking? The living voice. Who's the living voice? Oh, my Father. My Father. Anytime, listen here. Anytime you really hear the utterance of the living voice, my goodness, you better believe that the blessing is all over that seed. I can tell you this now. You can rejoice in the fact that he's about to breathe on it. I can tell you, you are that is completely legal. You can give him praise because you know you heard the living voice, and the living voice invokes a blessing. The living voice causes a release of harvest. You can go ahead and rejoice at the fact that harvest is coming. That's why he's trying to let you hear the living voice in the first place. So that's the only thing that's going to create a harvest. So he wants you to hear. And then you can rejoice, but my God, because the seed that you're releasing in this place of peace is about to absolutely, absolutely cause a blessing to come all over your life. Take a minute right now. The Spirit of God told me to tell you this. Take a minute right now. Think of seeds right now, right this moment. Think of seeds that he said for you to sow. Think about it. They could be recent. They could be as far back as 5 years. I don't care. Think of those seeds. And from this position of peace, begin to give him glory that you heard the living voice. Begin to give him glory that you heard him speak an amount for you to, oh, glory be to God. And give him glory. Because you gave it in proper covenant. You gave it. And now, my goodness, he's stamping it right now. He's stamping it right now. He's endorsing your harvest even right now. Begin to give him glory on seeds you heard to be sown by the living voice. You sowed bountifully. Now, the reason why I said give him glory is this right here. I'm going to scroll back up just for a second. This is why I said, give him glory. If you haven't, you're going to give him glory now. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully, watch this, shall reap also bountifully. What am I saying? If you sowed by the living voice, it's going to be the living voice that causes you to reap. God is going to speak on your behalf. If you sowed bountifully by the utterance, he's about to utter on your behalf, and the earth or people in the earth because he owns both, are going to cause a blessing to come back unto you. You're going to reap because the living voice is about to speak your name. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So give him glory for the seeds which you know the living voice said. Give him glory. Oh, glory be to God. Woo, for God so loveth a cheerful, propitious, prompt, one prompt to do anything for God, one that is expiated of sin, and being expiated of sin is your joy. That is your place of, your absolute place of peace. Now you can release any seed that he says without fear. Glory be to God. So here's your breakdown. We should only be giving by the utterance of the living voice, in which propitiates and causes the mind to be at peace. Sowing from peace will invoke his blessing and authority. This is all because we are giving to the one that asked, God our Father. We're in perfect position. Our paths are being made straight. We're in perfect position for the living voice to utter, to tell us what to sow, to ask us what to sow, to inquire. We're in perfect position for him to cause us to reap bountifully. We're in position where he can call your name to harvesting angels. Easily say, angels of all prayer, go. Fight for them. Bring in their harvest unto them. Whisper the names into the minds of men that have provisions. Whisper their names into the earth itself, causing it to yield unto them. You'll reap by the utterance of the living voice. But allow him to keep your path straight. The enemy wants to continue to put obstacles. In fact, there are times where the enemy would want to take you from the refiner's fire and put you back into his own fire because you used to be an instrument for his work. But the refiner's fire is too hot. He can't reach his hand in there without getting burned. No, he can't lay a charge to God's elect. And there still is no weapon formed against us that can prosper.
Hallelujah, God.
It's a sowing time. I heard them say that in the declarations and the prayer. It's a time of reaping. It's a time of harvest. It is our time. Open your eyes. See what the Lord is saying. See what he's saying. It's our time, praise God. Just see what he's saying. Ooh, glory be to God. If you're going through these changes, if you're feeling more worthy than you were before, because he's making his path straight in you.
Hallelujah.
And you're in the perfect position to release. Get the seed into his hands. Get it into his hands. But do it by the utterance of the living voice. Let him speak. Let him speak. I've often said this. He quickened me in this years ago. He said, you may want to give a seed of 100, but he may say no, just 20. Do what the living voice says. There's a greater harvest on the 20 than the 100.
Amen.
because it was uttered by the living voice.
Amen.
That's a bountiful giver. So therefore, he's going to speak on your behalf on the 20. But you say the scripture says there, it says whatsoever every man according as he purposeth in his heart. That's not what you think. No, it's purposed by him. It's purposed by him. The only purpose is him. Glory be to God. Jesus, I give you praise.
That's God.
He's prepared you now. He's prepared you. Don't let the devil rattle your cage. Don't let the devil take your position. Don't let your flesh rise up and bump you off course. Stay your course. Stand your ground. Stay in the knowledge of what you've been learning. Don't move from it. The enemy wants to uproot you. He wants to put you off. But boy, I like the fight that I heard again this morning. Evangelist Benita came in swinging heavy. And I like what I heard. She was declaring it is our time. She was decreeing it is our time. She was not letting it go. Boy, that's exactly what we got to do. We got to maintain our position in what God is saying. Don't be moved from it. Don't be moved. Father, I give you praise for this. Father, I give you honor and I give you glory for this word. I thank you so much. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Elder Donna says, so, so good. Bless God. Sister Javon says, amen. Evangelist Darrell says, hallelujah, twice. And Sister Javon says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. With your hands lifted up, everybody. We came in surrendering. We're going to go out surrendering.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Father, we just surrender again to the word we've heard. We surrender again to the truth. We surrender to the fire. The refiner's fire. Refashioning us, reforming us. Reshaping us, burning, Lord God, every bit of debris that's been on the path. It's doing a whole work all over again. You're leaving nothing out, Master. You're really reaching the core of our beings in this season. You're touching us. Deep is calling unto deep. I mean, really. And you're calling us upward. You're calling us into a place of absolute ascent from out of carnality. I'm grateful to hear the call. Master, do away with every disturbance. Every disturbance that would come and try to hinder and slow the clearing of our paths. You're teaching us, Master, how to prosper. You're teaching us how to sow and how to reap in the midst of our change. You're establishing wealth at the same time. Isn't that apropos? At the same time as our soul prosperity. The even as factor is still in full effect. Even as our soul prospers, health and wealth are right alongside. Help us now to take full advantage. Help us now to manipulate the word, to utilize it properly. Keep in remembrance what you're saying.
Yes, God.
Make our ears tuned in to the living voice. On every seed, on our tithing, on our first fruit giving, let us hear. Let us hear. Those of us that have heard once, help us to hear again. Let the sound of your living voice come. We open ourselves up completely to you. Minister, Jesus. Minister. And we give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Evangelist Darrell, the Spirit of God just told me to tell you that there are many seeds in which you have sown by the utterance of the living voice.
Yes.
From this place of your paths being cleared and the knowledge of your paths being cleared like this and this covenant that you're in, you give God glory.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord is going to multiply you in your finances. You're going to have some unexpected finances coming in because of your praise unto him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Because of your praise unto him. As you go back in your spiritual mind's eye and you remember the seeds that were sown, let me tell you what the Spirit of God said. This is for all of you under the sound of my voice that have heard this word. As you go back in your spiritual mind's eye and you see the seeds in which you've sown, he said, even if you've already harvested, I will cause yet another harvest on those seeds that were sown bountifully.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I hear the Lord say, I will cause a greater harvest because you have greater insight and greater knowledge. I will cause a greater harvest on all bountiful seeds sown. Hey God, on every
Hallelujah, Jesus.
If you glorify
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Glorify me from the place of your sins being expiated, from the place of you being propitious.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Tie that to your praise.
Yes.
Thank
you,
Jesus. Oh,
every bountiful seed sown.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Curtis, you've got many bountiful seeds in the ground. Elder Allison, you've got many bountiful seeds in the ground. Elder Donna, you've got many bountiful seeds. In fact, I praised him for one of your seeds, Elder Donna, that you sowed last year. And it came up in my spirit, and I praised him for it. And also the Spirit of God gave me utterance in two areas for you about your inheritance, that the Spirit of God is going to start taking away sleep from those that have taken from you, and they're going to restore you.
Thank
you.
Jesus.
Glory be to God. Prophetess Manita has many, 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 many bountiful seeds in the ground, many bountiful seeds.
Bless God. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Evangelist Benita, this is an area that you flourish in. Now let's connect the harvest to the sowing. Many bountiful seeds.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah.
The real praise comes because you heard the living voice. The real joy of it is hearing the living voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't know the pleasure it is to hear God tell you and ask you what to sow. God? He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell you, for I own the cattle that roam by the thousands on hills. But that same God asking or requiring a seed, do you know the privilege?
Hallelujah.
He told me to tell you, he said, it's not for me, it's for you.
So true. Yes, it is.
Glory be to God.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Glory be to God.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah, yes. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.
It's not for me, it's for you.
Hallelujah, oh, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. God, hallelujah, God.
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, ooh, Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah, yes,
Lord. Hallelujah. Mika. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lance chimed in and says, amen.
Hallelujah.
Javon says, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hey, God.
Hallelujah.
There is an anointing of prosperity that's on the line, a true anointing, because your connection is so pure and so at peace with God right now. It's so pure and it's so at peace. Everything is properly aligned for harvest. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Everything about you is properly aligned for harvest because you're in the right state. You're in the right mental disposition because of the Rhema word. And everything in you is aligned for God to invoke a blessing of harvest over you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yes. Glory be to God. Lance, you're a giver. You're a giver. You're a giver. You're a giver. And you love giving. Many bountiful seeds you should be praising him over. Because you heard him say.
Hallelujah.
Even I hear the Lord say, even in the tithing, everyone that tithes the way that you tithe, the Lord says this, you can invoke the blessing. The blessing of the tithe can be invoked there too. Because you heard him and you've been giving all this time. Because you heard him say. Glory be to God. He will rebuke the devourer. The vine before his time. My God. Because you're giving because you heard him say. My God, we ought not to forget this, even though you might have heard some of you 25 years ago, but you still are doing it under the living voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you heard him say it. Whoo, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen, Lord. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. May glory be to God. Woo. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My God in heaven.
Bless you, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, God.
Amen. I'm done right there. I'm done. Bless. I am finished right there. I pray you heard this today, and I pray that this, you won't let this go. Don't let this go for anything. Don't let it go for anyone. You hold this word. You keep this word close by. And don't let it go for anything. And you give from the right place. You sow from this place of peace. You sow from this place. We used to talk about sow when we're quickened. When we're quickened, we're obviously propitiated. And all the process of being in peace is under this quickening. And it makes so much sense. But now God is saying, because here I have purified you as the sons of Levi, so you can offer an offering in righteousness. And my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, you're in right position. He's worth fighting for.
Yes, he is.
He's worth fighting for. He's worth it. My goodness, he's worth it. Amen. Amen. I'm finished.